This is Torch columnist James Caldwell, joined by MMA Torch editor Jamie Pinnock for a discussion of the December 22nd Raw from Bizarro World, also known as Toronto, Ontario, Canada. This was not really a go-home show, not really after a pay-per-view Monday. It was just kind of a in-between pay-per-views, yet it had a bigger feel than your average Raw. I think part of it being in Canada, where the crowd is always hot, and then a big return from Trish Stratus, and them hyping something that was going to play into next week's show with the whole the four main event matches. Jamie, what were your thoughts on this show overall? And from all the things that happened, what stood out to you the most?
I thought it was a good show overall. I mean, we had a couple of really solid TV matches in JBL Rey Mysterio and then Jericho Punk, and then some really solid storyline work with patching up some stuff with the Shawn Michaels JBL thing and forward, and some continuations on that. We had the big return from Trish Stratus, which was definitely a welcome sight, a lot of high energy from her. And then basically it was just one of those shows where, unlike the typical Raw, the good outweighed the bad, and we haven't seen that too often lately. So, I mean, there was only a couple of rough patches with a couple of pointless matches on the show that didn't really go over well. But other than that, I thought it was a very solid.
Yeah, I mean, there were some rough patches, but, I mean, overall, I think you had a CM Punk Jericho match that was awesome. You had a Ray JBL match for the second half was really good. And then a memorable end of the show. So you put those three, plus Santino having tons of mic time. And that's a thumbs-up show in my book. Santino started the show with Beth backstage, and John Cena interrupted when Santino was going to reveal that, I guess, Santa isn't real, that sort of thing. So it turned into a Goldust segment where he was involved, and then Cena was challenged to find a diva and meet Glamorella later on in the show. So what do you think about this opening segment with Santino, Beth, and John Cena?
Santino was entertaining. John Cena started resorting back to his cutting down male wrestlers by making them seem effeminate and liking girly toys. Goldust was unneeded as a hint for a partner that was just dumb, but Santino was good, and I liked the way they use the who will his partner be with Kelly and actually going back to that throughout the show tonight to lead up to the Trish reveal at the end of the show. And really the way they set it up, if it wasn't going to be Trish, there were going to be a lot of really, because they set it up for it to be really Trish, and that's the only person that would have been acceptable in that spot.
Yeah. And, you know, the whole thing, if you really stop and think about it, it's like, okay, well, if Trish was in the building the whole time, then Cena would not have gone to Kelly as a partner. And then, you know, oh, well, we got Trish on standby, you know. That kind of threw me off when you sit there and think about it. But if you're willing to ignore the loophole and storyline, then it was really well done. So it starts with our opening match with Shawn Michaels, Kane, and Kelly comes out with Kane. Kane apologizes on command by Stephanie McMahon. Stephanie was not on the show, but she had involvement in a couple of different segments here on the show. And then Kelly was kind of leery of Kane still. Kane said, you should apologize to me for lying, and that line will come back and bite you later on. So Shawn Michaels, Kane is your opening match. Michaels wins this about 6 minutes. Toronto's still chanting, you screwed Brett, because apparently it's still 1997. Regardless, Michaels wins. It's an okay match, not particularly memorable, but Michaels was involved later on in the show. What are your thoughts on this opening match?
The match itself, the two of them have had much better with each other, obviously, in the past. But it was an okay opening match to set up what was going on later in the night. It was very strange how Kelly basically followed Kane out to get an apology, instead of maybe having her come out separately first and then have Kane apologize, or come out on the stage after. The way she just kind of walked down to the ring and then took his abuse in the ring, didn't make much sense. But then again, I thought we stopped with the Kane's crazy monster rapist storylines like 6 years ago, but I guess I was wrong on that. But just one of the minor gripes on this show with Kane there, and I don't like the "that's going to come back to haunt you" thing with a gigantic 6 foot whatever guy to a 5 foot nothing female on the roster. It's not needed in 2008.
Yeah, but with Kane, they don't know what to do with him. It seemed like they were onto something a couple months ago when he was more credible in the ring and he was winning matches and he seemed like a legit threat, and now it's just back to Kane being Kane, and that's played out. I don't know. They don't know what to do with him. They don't know how to use him right now. And so we go back to what worked, or, well, what didn't, never did work, but somehow still gets played up. But they focused on the Orton punt last week to kind of write off Batista. We can go and talk about this now. The breaking news tonight is that Batista's out anywhere from, 5 to 8 months with a torn hamstring. I guess kind of one of those lingering issues that flared up on the European tour, and now he needs surgery to repair it. Batista is probably going to be built up as a world title contender to either John Cena or, assuming Jeff Hardy is still champion at WrestleMania. What are your thoughts on the Batista injury, and who do you think is going to slide into that spot opposite Cena at WrestleMania?
Oh, if you thought the big man couldn't run before, I mean, as far as who they're going to plug in with Cena right now, I mean, that kind of throws the whole situation into a loop because they really haven't established who that top guy will be. But off the top of my head, I mean, you're probably looking at Randy doesn't win that thing next week and take it from Cena at the Rumble. I mean, they probably won't have him do it that quickly, but I can definitely see Orton Cena at WrestleMania one-on-one.
Yeah, I think it'd be a good match because of how great Orton is right now. He's inspired, and he's got, and we'll see later on, he's doing a really good promo. So I think, that's not going to be a match really headline WrestleMania. I think you're going to have a special attraction match, like Undertaker, Michaels, or if Austin comes back, that's your headline match. So I think Cena Orton could be just one of those, semi-main event, great Raw matches that has the potential to steal the show. So yeah, we'll see where that goes. Because you just don't think of Orton as being a guy who's going to draw who's going to be a WrestleMania headliner. He's just not there yet, or he doesn't have quite that it factor, whatever it is, that like Cena has, or Michaels has, or Triple H has. But he is definitely one of the top stars in the company right now.